sit there. You can't see my glory. Oh, what a disappointing. But, I have only one place for you, Moses, that you can see my glory. Who's saying I have only one place? God must have tens of places, hundreds of places. He's the omnipotent. He's the omniscient. One place. What is that place? He said, I will hide you in the rock. Not in any rock, in the rock. A particular rock. And I'll put my hands around you. And I will pass. And even then, you're going to see my glory from the back. You can't see my glory from the front. What does it mean, all these riddles? It means that God has appointed one way of salvation. By the way, Christians are very narrow-minded when it comes to that. And we thank God that we are narrow-minded. Because if we're broad, that this way would lead to heaven, this way would lead to glory, we'll all end up in hell. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only way, my friends. He's the only way. He doesn't leave it to our imagination. He died for us. And this is the rock. He will hide me. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Each one who has been washed by the blood of the Lamb. At one point, he was hid in that rock. He put his trust in that rock. Not only that, but God with his mighty hands, he protected him. And that's how we saw, how we experience the glory of God. Praise his name. Just for the being here in the breaking of bread, I thought we read together for that occasion from Luke 22. From Luke 22. And I start the reading from verse 8. And he sent Peter and John, that's our blessed Lord, sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat. So they said to him, where do you want us to prepare? And he said to them, behold, when you have entered the city, a man will meet you. You're carrying a pitcher of water. Meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house which he enters. Then you shall say to the master of the house, the teacher says to you, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples? Then he will show you a large, furnished upper room. There make ready. So they went and found it as he had said to them. And they prepared the Passover. And when the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Verse 20. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood which is shed for you. May the Lord bless this reading to our hearts. This is a sacred moment for believers. They meet around the Lord to remember him, to do exactly what he told us to do. Ah, don't say that. Don't be narrow-minded about it. There are many people, and they meet in different ways. They have different things. What difference does it make? I do it this way or that way. So it's all good. Is it? Is it? This is what we try to examine this morning. Are there many ways? He said, I have only one place for you, Moses, to hide you on the rock and to put my hands around you. Without this, you cannot see my glory. And even with that, you're going to see the back of me. But praise God, we saw his glory in the Lord Jesus Christ. What about that? What about this meeting? All meetings are good. Prayer meeting, very important. What can we do without a prayer meeting? Preaching and learning the word of God is very, very important. What do we do without the word of God? But this, of all the meetings, I dare to say, is number one. Hell. Hell. Imagine. Today, we had these tickets and flying on the program and all these nice things we see and we saw. But imagine you had two invitations. You're getting two invitations today in the mail. Or a message on your mobile, if I'm talking about the recent way of doing things. Come. There is a great lecture by an eloquent preacher about the king, his person, his habits, his miracles, his doings. Come. But there is another invitation. A second invitation came to you on your mobile. You are invited to come and dine with the king. I'm asking you, which one are you going to run and do? Hearing about the king or dining with the king? I know what I'm going to do. I'll take the second one for sure. It does not make the first one bad or lesser, but it comes second. It's dining with the king. And that's why there is a great emphasis on this meeting. Do you know that he sends an invitation to come and dine with him? If you knew him, if you've been saved by his grace, he said, come and dine with me. Now, if that meeting is that important, he should not leave it to my imagination or your imagination for that matter. He should give me some details. And in this chapter, we read of the fine details that he taught us to follow it. Look at the scripture again. In verse 15, for example, he says, then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this with you. He has a desire to be present. That's why when we meet, we say, Lord, you are present in the midst. Is that our imagination? No. He wants to be. That's what he likes to do. He likes to see those he has saved by his blood. They coming to him and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. With fervent desire. So that's a desire of our Lord. But then he appointed the time. He did not leave it to the disciples to say, it looks all right now, so let's do it. No, he told them. He told them. He initiated that go and prepare the Passover for us. Peter, John, go and prepare. Now is the time. And we can tell the time from the scriptures. We are not ignorant of that. But he told them the place. He did not leave it to them. Any place would be fine. Do it anyway. Anywhere you like. No, it's not. It's not. He told them the place. Where do you want us to prepare? What a blessed disciples. When they ask, where do you want us to place? I'm not talking about a geographical place. But we have to meditate on these words. If you read the scripture like you're reading stories and history and all, it becomes boring to death. But if you try to chew that, meditate, think about it, let it sink deep in your heart. Oh, there is no limit. I got saved when I was 15, nearly. Now I'm past my 70, and I'm a babe in the scripture. I just love to hear. Love to hear the scripture when people use it in prayer, in song, in preaching. Beautiful. There is no limit to what we can learn. If you think you know it all, think again. Because there is no limit to the word of God. Here we have, he appointed the place. But look how exactly he appointed the place. Not just go and find a place. Wherever you find an empty hole, just get in and use it. And that will do. He put points. First he said, you will find a man with a pitcher of water. Follow this man. A man with a pitcher of water. You know, water is symbolically, can mean two things in the Bible. And you refer, if you want to sit with me after and ask. Water can mean the Holy Spirit. When it's not limited in a container, that when he said it would run, rivers of water would run out of him, he was talking about the Holy Spirit, because there is no limit. But when you have the water contained, that's the word of God. The word of God. A pitcher full of water. You cannot add, you cannot take from it. That's the word of God. So he is saying, there is a man who has the word of God, who knows the word of God. You follow this man. What it means today, I'm not going to look for one with a bucket and water and all that and walking around the camp so I follow him. But what it simply means, look in the scripture. The scripture will tell you what to do. It's not left to my imagination, to my thinking. So the time is appointed by him. The place was appointed by him. A man with a pitcher of water. More. He said, you go to a house. When you reach that house, ask for a guest room. A guest room. Why? We are sitting here in a guest room. You don't own this place. It's not yours. You are in a guest room. What does it mean? He's reminding me that I am a stranger in this world. We don't have a place. This is not our final abode. This is not our final mansion. But we are traveling. Remember at King's Grove, we sit in the church and remember the Lord. Here in the camp, we sit here in this hall and remember the Lord. Many others, they remember him. It's only a guest room. It's only a guest room. And he's just trying to give me a hint. You are traveling. You are past. You are not of this world. You are not of this world. There are people who own this place. But we own, thank God, nothing. We just sit in this room and use it. Remember the Lord and go. So here is, he's talking about a guest room. And if you believe the scripture, which I hope you do believe the scripture, and you believe every word is written with a meaning, not just haphazardly someone is writing. Now that's me and you when we write. But when God writes, the pen of God writes, he means every word When he said a guest room, not a room, that means he wanted to tell his people that they are guests. They're traveling. They're passing by. But look at the next one. He said, a large room. A large room. Not just any room, but it had to be a large room. And thank God we have a large room. I don't mean those four walls. But take the spiritual meaning behind. Meditate. Get the taste of God's word. What does it mean, a large room? Of course it's a large room. We have the old people. We have the young people. We have men. We have women. We have all types of things. We have different nationalities. Thank God, sitting here in this room. It had to be a large room. If it's a small room, it would be tight. You have to be in that shape, in that form, in that. We only accept Egyptians. What about the Libs? No. But we have Egyptians, Lebanese. What if I start naming nationalities, I'll forget some people here. So many nationalities. It's because it's a large room. The heart is large. Germans, Danish, Indians, praise God. It's a large room. A large room. Different backgrounds. I recall when the Lord Jesus sent his servant and he said, go and invite people from outside. Just ask them to come. He started inviting people, different people. Doesn't matter the race, it doesn't matter the way they look, man or a woman, boy or a girl. And this is the report in Luke 14. That's what he said, the servant. It is done as you commanded. And if you remember, and still there is room. There are a few seats, few empty seats. There must be some people. Somewhere. God is waiting for them to come and fill these empty seats. But this room, look at the description of it. It says a large, furnished room. A large, furnished room. Please don't bring your seat and insult me in coming with your seat. It's furnished. But I want a comfy seat. It is all comfortable. All is provided in this room. You don't have to bring anything. Just bring yourself. A large, furnished room. If those people who come from outside to sup or to dine with the Lord, and they can see them carrying chairs or carrying whatever, why? The master of the house would ask, why are you getting these things? I provided for you a large, furnished room. So it has all the furniture. A dear friend of mine gave me a present. That present was a picture of a long table. As a matter of fact, it's an endless table. If you look at the picture, you don't see the end of that table. With pierced hands of the Lord. And it reads something like that, written on that picture. Listen to that. You are invited to come dine with me, the Lord Jesus is saying. You are invited to come dine with me. From now through all eternity, believe in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and dine with Jesus as your host to live in heaven eternally. Then down under these words, it says, all you must do, there is nothing else except this, RSVP, that's French, Reserve, s'il vous plaît. Reserve, please, send the reservation, reserve, s'il vous plaît. What kind of reservation I need to send?
All I need to say, Lord Jesus, I come.
Lord Jesus, I come. Like we heard about yesterday and what we're going to hear today, and the Lord is inviting many precious souls to come. All you need in this upper furnished room, large room, is to say, I come. You heard the invitation, you need to respond. I come. Come as you are. Don't bring anything. But the Lord has provided everything. But it says upper room. It says upper room. Large, furnished, upper room. It should have a meaning. If it was stated in Scripture, it should have a meaning. It can't be just God is writing anything. Large, because of the numbers and the diversity. Furnished, God provided everything. What about upper room? Upper room. Up. When you go up, if you go down, you reach the ground or underground. If you go up, you're higher than the ground. Very simple illustration. If you flew in a flight, what was our flight? That's about 4 o'clock. Yeah, we are flight 4, fellas. We flight 4, confirmed non-stop. If we are in this flight and we go up, high up, we see the world very small. Very small. Isn't it? That's what he means by upper room. Why, Lord, did you write in your holy scripture, upper room? He said, when you gather, leave all the earthly souls, the things of this earth, leave them behind. Don't bring them with you. And you'll be occupied with many things while you're sitting in this room. Just forget about yourself, even yourself. Whatever problems you have, concentrate on the Lord Jesus. And that's why he's saying, insisting on upper room. But sad to say, how many times, let's face reality, and what happens? How many times, when we are in this large, furnished, upper room, our thoughts fly. And they go to earthly things. Distracted. Look at the people around us. We'll see who's smiling and who's not smiling, who's frowning and who's... And our thoughts go wild like that. And I like in the remaining 5 minutes to suggest ways to help us to concentrate on Him. Because that's what He said. Do this in remembrance of me. Of me. I deserve. I died for you on the cross. I gave you eternal life. I washed you with my blood. And all I want is when you come with the saints, when you come with the believers, remember me and me alone. Don't remember anything. Don't pray about your problems and your HSC or your sickness or this or that or bad knee or whatever. Just remember me. There are things to help us. I know we have to be practical. So we can help one another in that meeting. Not for our thoughts to go astray. I would say remember His name. You want to focus on Him? Remember His name. In Psalm 20 they say, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. We will remember the name of the Lord our God. You see? Remember the name of the Lord. Think of His name as in Isaiah 9. Read Isaiah 9 on Saturday night. And think of these names given to the Lord Jesus. Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God. Everlasting Father. Prince of Peace. That's His name. That's His name. Think of His name as in the New Testament. You shall call Him Jesus, because He will save His people from their sins. And by the way,
Some people, they think salvation, God will save me in my sins. I remain in my sins and He saved me.
That's your gospel. It's not in the scripture.
He saved you from your sins.
If He really saved you, you will leave all this behind. You will turn. You will make a full turn. The world behind me, the cross in front of me.
But remember not only His name, remember His works.
What He has done. Remember the work of redemption. In Mark 1 it says that He came and was baptized. Then later on, I think that in verse 9, in verse 11, that He was tempted. In verse 13, He was there in the wilderness 40 days tempted by Satan. So He was baptized and He was tempted. That's part of His works. That's His job. Before He started His ministry, that's what happened. He came. And He can elaborate on that. I don't have the time to go wider on this and talk in broad things. He was, like we heard in the Thanksgiving, He was made man. And He was put to the dust of death. Here we read of Him. He went to John the Baptist. And He said, baptize me. And John the Baptist shocked. You coming to be baptized for me? I'm not worthy even to undo your shoelace. How come? Why? He wants to be identified with sinners who are repenting. I'm identifying with sinners who are repented. I'm putting my seal of approval on your ministry, John. So He was baptized. But then He tells me He was in the wilderness 40 days. 40 days. And He said that the scripture told us some of the temptations He faced. And by the way, these are not all the temptations He faced. 40 days. You can imagine. What happened during the 40 days? How Satan is cunning and try to present this, that. No way. And He gave us like an example of what He was, what were the trials at that time. Did He succeed? Of course He did. The first Adam did not take long from Satan. He went to Mrs. Adam. And He said, is it true that God told you not to eat of all the trees? And that pride. And that big thing. Oh yeah, might be God is a little bit harsh on you. If you eat, you'll be like God. He knew that. That's why He deprived you of this. How many things God deprived us? He said, don't do it. Is He unkind? And harsh and a heart. No. He wants to protect you. There are two ways you learn. Either you obey the word of God, or you learn the hard ways you experience. Either you believe the book of Proverbs, or you go through the book of Ecclesiastes, and you say, yes, I tried and failed miserably. And you come back to Him. Remember His works. Being tempted by Satan and won, that means He's telling me I can shield you. I can protect you from the power of evil, from the power of the devil. If you are under my wings, don't be afraid. Don't be scared. I will carry you. I will take you. I will protect you. But then I can suggest, remember His love. Remember His love. The Lord would say, there is no greater love than this. That a man would give his life for his friends. Maybe. Maybe a mother would give her life to save her little child from fire. Yeah, it can happen. But we were not His friends. We were His enemies. And He gave His life for me and for you and for everyone here. You were not His friend. You were His enemy. You did not want to listen to Him. You did not want to walk in His ways. Yet He loved you. You didn't even know Him at that time. But he still loves you. And still gave his life for you. I like that verse where it says in 1 John, we love him because he first loved us. We don't know what the word love means. And I'm not talking about this love of cloud nine, where it's here and then it comes down there and takes a different forms of life. When you get engaged, ooh, wow, love, 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 love. But then it takes a more mature form. You mean what you said. And you give. You don't take. That is love. That is love. So here he loved us and he gave. He loved us and he gave. Then remember, of course, we cannot forget his death. Remember his death. Death of the cross. His sorrows. Sweat in Gethsemane. His bitter cry, my God, why thou have forsaken me? We pass by, we read it. I don't know even the surface of that. For the holy man, the holy one, to cry that from the cross, my God, why thou have forsaken me? No one is going to be forsaken from God. Only the Lord Jesus was put in that position to guarantee that God will never leave you nor forsake you. God is with you. But remember his glory, not just his death. He's not in the grave. Thank God when I visited Jerusalem and I went to the grave, supposed to be the grave of the Lord. What a beautiful sign on the top. He is not here. He is risen. He is risen. He's not here. I can visit many graves, but not the grave of our Lord Jesus Christ, because he's not here. He's seated above principalities at the right hand of God. And why is he seated in that place? So he can glory God himself. Yeah, this is right. That is his own right. But he's interceding for every one of us. He lives there so he can pray for me and pray for you. He can sympathize with you and me. Can you imagine that? Is this one, is this Savior deserved that I remember him for that sacred hour and him alone? If you can't do it, if you feel that you are inadequate to do it, you say, Lord, help me to do it. Help me to focus on you. Help me to remember your death. Help me to remember your glory. Help me to remember your name. Help me to remember your deeds. But remember his words too. Remember his words. If you love me, you do my commandments. If you love me, you remember my words. We need to remember his words. Or like, I'm going to finish in 2 minutes. What time is it? My watch was faster, I think, I believe. What is it, Elisa, I have now? 12:30. On the dot, on the nose. Okay, I'll finish it. 1 minute. Remember his words. The two on the road to Emmaus, he started explaining things to them and talking about his death and his resurrection. And I love what they said in Luke 24. Did not our heart burn with us while he talked with us and opened the scriptures? I hope you get that burning heart in you. When was the last time your heart burned within you? When you opened the scripture and he talked to you. You come here with that invitation of yours. Come and dine with me. And you burst with thanksgiving for all this. But finally, remember his return. Remember his return. That he's coming again. If we remember now him, if we sit in this upper large room, but he's going to come again. He's going to come again. We will see him face to face. Now we see him by faith. And some people, they believe this much. Some people, they believe this little. He's here. Oh, yeah, we heard that. He's here. You're right. But one day, One day, and that could be today, could be tomorrow. We could not finish the camp. You will see him face to face. And that's beautiful. It's not the end result that we'll keep doing that forever. No, no, no. When he comes to take us home, or when he comes in glory and the church will be raptured, that would be the time when we see him face to face. I think that Samaritan man who was half dead on the road, when he came to him and he bounded his wounds and took him to an inn, and he told the innkeeper, he said, take care of whatever he spends. I will repay you when I come. And the innkeeper was telling the man, the wounded man, the story. Someone brought you here last night, you were half dead. And he said, whatever he spent, he's going to pay. So if you want breakfast, just press the buzzer, we'll give you breakfast. In the first class lounge. Lunch, lunch. Dinner, dinner. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it to you. But then that struck him. He said he paid $2 or whatever. You call it whatever coin we have. He paid $2. And he said, but whatever he spends, I will pay you when he comes, when I come. And that man who was in bed, wrapped and all that, he jumped with joy. I said, why are you so happy? I told you he's going to pay for you. Whatever expenses he's going to pay. He said, no, I'm not concerned about that he's going to pay for all this. But now my heart jumps in me and bubbles in me because you said he's going to come again. I will see him. I will enjoy his presence. My friends, all those believed and put their trust in Christ, one day we're going to see him face to face. And that will not be anymore. That will stop. When he said in the kingdom of God, in the king, he was talking about the Passover. But the last two verses I read is this time when we meet. And we have to distinguish between the two. I don't have time to spend on that. So when we bow our heads, just tell him, Lord, help me to remember you, your name, your deeds, your word. Whatever it comes to your mind, just pray about it. We spend half a minute, 30 seconds, and then we get to the coffee and tea. And you are invited to dine with the King. Not the King, but King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he wants you by name to dine with him. He knows everyone by his or her name. And all he's asking, do this in remembrance of me. Would you say, Lord, help me to remember. To remember you in your appointed way, in the way you want it. May God give us grace, give us wisdom, that we remember him until he comes, and we give his name all the glory. In his worthy and precious name we pray. Amen.
Come back at 10:15 for the next, that gives us just on half an hour.